WGN 1340. Go Vols!
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon here in East Tennessee as we roll on through the month of April, getting set to turn another calendar page to May, and in what has become a very interesting and fact-filled, storyline-filled, fun-filled time of the sports calendar here, with just a couple of different things converging and going on simultaneously. A lot to get into here this afternoon.
Some of it's fun.
Plenty of...
Some of it's stressful.
Hot portal action.
What's stressful?
Filling a roster? Who are we going to get?
Who are we going to get?
Thrive on chaos, man.
I kind of like it.
Like me,
it's
yeah.
Fun. I look at it as an opportunity to get better. I think we're going to be better when the smoke clears. I really do. Maybe
none
that's
of the,
this,
none
the
of our targets
eternal
are,
optimist in me.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Russ. None of our dream targets are off the table.
No.
The four.
No. All right. Let's run through it. For those of you who, you know, have stuff to do, you've been doing other things. Here's where we stand today at 3:02 p.m. John Rothstein reports about an hour ago that Tennessee leads for Igor Milicic Jr., the Croatian big man from Charlotte. And we continue to hear very good things there. It would appear to be a matter of time before Igor commits to Tennessee and becomes our second portal pickup. So that one appears to be going well. Meanwhile, Felix Okpara is visiting today. Picked a beautiful day to come in for his visit. I mean, if you're looking to show off the beauty of East Tennessee,
yeah,
which I guess he's familiar with, having spent a year at Chattanooga prep school. So he's in here. That everybody says that sounds like, unless we just screw the visit up.
Well, yeah, I mean, between his connections to – I mean, he's got connections all over the place, the program. He played with Cam Carr. He played with Julian Phillips. Like you said, he played at that Chattanooga – Hamilton Heights, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
So he was here since this morning. His family's coming in from Chattanooga to meet him. Big – you know, the ties there with Cam Carr, we'll see if that finishes up quickly. That could be a good one. So you have to feel good about Igor and Okpara. Boom, there is size, there's length, there's big men, two of them right there. So that fills a big need. And then you've got Cade Tyson,
who has not committed to UNC as we go to air.
No, nope, this is true.
He has not. And Tennessee apparently went to visit him last night, according to Ben McKee on 247. So like, there's a school of thought there that thing is not over, that Tennessee has given him something to think about. And I think if you're Cade Tyson and you take whatever your emotions about growing up in North Carolina and the Tar Heels are out of it, and whatever your thoughts about Tennessee and how they stack up to North Carolina, because you can't base your decision on where you're going
on
about
history.
Yeah, you can't, man. You got to say, okay, he's got 2 years left, but if he's as good as people are cracking up, you know, maybe you might just be looking at this as a one-year decision. And I think if you're in his shoes, you got to look at it like, okay, Hubert Davis has been good at North Carolina, but they weren't that good this past season. Were they? Were they a one seed?
They're a one
they
seed.
Beat us, right. Got to the one. And
like I said, yeah, they were really good this past season.
Probably cost us our first Final Four appearance. But
isn't it weird how quickly you forget? Like the season's been over for a week, and I already forgot that they were a one seed.
Well, what was it, 2 years ago or three? They weren't very good.
Well, they were in the championship against that Kansas that year.
As an eight seed.
Yeah. So, I don't know. My point is, and you look at it, Tennessee, you got to think, man, I could step in there, and they made this kid last year connect a one-year superstar, and he's off to the NBA draft lottery. So, wow, that's really something. I can slide in there and play that role for Rick Barnes, who, I mean, I don't know. I'm just – am I looking at it through orange-colored glasses to think that –
no.
Barnes is a better coach and developer than Hubert Davis.
Look at compare who Barnes is putting in the NBA and who Hubert has.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not trying to get everybody's hopes up, but I'm not. There are a lot
like
of people.
The old days.
There are a lot of people who think that one is a fait accompli, as they say, and that it's just a matter of time before he announces for North Carolina. And I don't know. I mean, he went on a visit over the weekend, did not commit, and apparently met with our guys yesterday.
And everybody was expecting him to commit before he left campus on Sunday, is what I've read.
Yeah. I've got two new names for you.
Mm.
Well, you haven't mentioned one, but who are the two new ones?
The two new ones are who have I not mentioned?
He's not in the portal right now.
Oh, Lanier?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a big one, obviously. The two new names I've got for you are Minnesota transfer Elijah Hawkins. He's a guard. On threes, Jamie Shaw says Tennessee is one of many programs that has reached out to Hawkins. He averaged 9.5 points, 7.5 assists. You heard that correct, 7.5 assists and 3.6 rebounds per game in his lone season with the Golden Gophers. 5'11" junior, native of Washington, D.C. Sounds like he's got 1 year to play. He spent three seasons at Howard before transferring to Minnesota, where he was fourth in college basketball this season with 247 assists. I guess my question there would be, if you're this young man and you've got one season to play and it's obvious you're a point guard, is Ziegler going to scare you off, basically?
Yeah, I would think.
Would think so, right?
Well, especially considering he got, 38, 39 minutes at the point in a couple games this year, so.
He's a three-year starter.
Yeah.
Other schools in contact with Hawkins: Kentucky, Creighton, Texas Tech, South Carolina, USC, Georgia, Florida State, Pittsburgh, West Virginia, Villanova, goes on and on, Vandy, Washington State. So, a lot of schools in after him. Just a name to keep in mind, Elijah Hawkins. And then the other one that might be a little bit more intriguing to me is Tucker Anderson.
Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Nice. Anderson.
I like that reference. Central Arkansas transfer is going to visit unofficially later this week, according to Ben McKee. A small forward who was a freshman this past season at Central Arkansas. He's 6'9", nice, 190 pounds, might need to add some weight. And here's the interesting part. His mom, Sheila Frost Anderson.
Oh, okay.
Former Tennessee Lady Vol, who was part of two national championship teams under the late, great Pat Summitt.
Winning pedigree, championship pedigree.
Shot 38% from three this past season at 6'9".
That's pretty good.
I mean, if you can convince a guy like that to come and, you know, he played a lot, excuse me, this past year at Central Arkansas for a freshman. Obviously, he goes under the radar, recruited out of high school, right? Ends up at Central Arkansas. 14.5 points per game, probably not going to be getting enough minutes to get 14.5 points per game at Tennessee, making that big a jump up. But if you can sell him on, hey, come in here, be a developmental guy, learn behind. We're going to have this Dubar kid. We might have Cade Tyson, a couple of other guys. But get bigger, stronger, adapt to this level. You'll have 2, maybe 3 years if you were to redshirt to play at Tennessee. where your mom played, by the way. He's got a couple of banners hanging in the rafters.
I think her pictures.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say. She's got some nice still shots.
Good. What team was that?
She was the early 90s. She was an early lady. And wasn't she a boxer? Wasn't she the one that knocked somebody out later?
What? Really?
I wonder if she's the one that wailed on, what was that caller's name? God rest his soul. Oh, he's the Brady. There's an infamous story about one of the Lady Vols just beat him senseless on the strip.
Really?
Yeah.
I had not heard that one, but we had a former player. I think it was Sheila Frost, who was a boxer. There's some footage of her online just going ham on somebody, or maybe gone ham on, and somebody left in a stretcher, as I recall. It was.
That sounds like a party.
Kind of scary. Yeah. So that's where things stand with the transfer portal and Rick Barnes right now.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you feel great, where are you at?
7.5.
That's solid.
Maybe 7.8, somewhere in there.
Like, I'm going to say a 7, but that's not with any great intel. I'm just – it's just so many new faces and so many – I don't want to say they're all necessarily that much different as far as when you get like to a breakdown between two guys playing the same position, but started with a small list. Now the list continues to grow, but I mean, I think we're still – none of our big targets have announced to go elsewhere yet, have they?
No, and I'm still operating under the assumption that we probably aren't going to get Cade Tyson.
Mm.
But you're not
– not ruling it out.
Yeah. You aren't willing to concede yet.
Yeah, but even if we don't get him and we get Igor and a couple of these other guys.
Maybe get Lanier.
Lanier would be the big one. Like that to
That's
me.
That's the one I really want.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I mean, the guy's going through the draft process right now. Even if he's told, hey, you're not quite ready, that's still a pretty good sign to me that, yeah, that's a guy you want. Feels like the Awaka coming back thing is sort of dying out.
Yeah, I saw where he was meeting with Arizona.
Really? I didn't see Arizona.
Yeah,
Arizona.
He's out there visiting.
Yeah, he's in Phoenix. He was spotted in Phoenix.
Georgetown, Villanova, Ohio State, other schools that he's talking to, apparently.
I wonder if old Rick and the staff didn't give both those guys a hard deadline and said, like, look, if you're not back by Sunday, like, just stay gone.
I don't know.
I don't think that either of them have handled this very well.
Who?
Jonas and Toby.
Oh, yeah.
Not that they've necessarily handled it just abysmally, but it's just...
Well I think if you listen to, going back to what Coach Barnes said, I feel like, you know, one was Barnes thought everything was cool, and the other one, I feel like Barnes won't come around and say, basically trying to say that Toby's making a huge mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's eventually going to acknowledge that he should have just stayed.
Well, and it's just also bad timing because they didn't expect Awaka to jump in. They thought that...
No, they didn't expect...
That's what I meant. I'm sorry. Adu. Two A's. They didn't expect Adu. Neither did Awaka.
Right.
But then Adu jumps in. Awaka jumps in, what, the next day? Was it the next... Wasn't it less than 24 hours later? Awaka
yeah,
makes the
close
move?
Together.
And so then you're thinking, okay, well, we'll get one of these guys back probably. That was unexpected. And then... Here we are.
Well, if we get Okpara and Igor, I'm not going to say that that's better than Adu and Awaka were, but I don't know that's any worse.
What's Igor shoot from three?
I want to say 38%, something like that.
I thought it was higher than that. Okay.
Who's the one that shoots in the 40s that we're looking at?
That's Lanier. Shot 44% last year. Dubar shot right at 40% from 3 points.
He's like 41.2 or something. Yeah, it's pretty good.
So, I mean, these guys.
I am excited about Dubar. I did watch some shooting. Of his film. Once they commit, I'll dig in and watch a little film.
He looks very athletic as well.
Yeah.
Well, explosive.
The highlight films, like, that's hard to watch, you know, because I watched.
Oh, yeah. Granted,
I watched Okpara today. This is a guy that averaged 6 points a game.
Mm.
But his highlight film is just nothing but him dunking.
Yeah.
you know this couldn't have happened much.
Well, yeah, Russ, but on the other hand, we've had problems with that the past couple of years. Guys missing bunnies and dunks.
Yeah. So. But I could put together a great two-minute highlight package of Adu just dunking, hook shots, baseline, just doing everything.
Ejecting people.
And if that's all you'd ever seen, you'd be like, oh, my God, this guy's amazing.
Yeah. So, tell me all the times he got
yeah, I mean,
abused.
The stuff I want to see with Okpara is, okay, did they play Purdue? Like, I want to see him bodied up to Edie and just like, how did he do it? Did he hold his ground? Is he getting ragdolled?
I thought Ohio State beat Purdue this year.
Yes, they did.
It's like a big stat line there, Tucker.
There you go.
I'll pull it up.
You know, I just want to see him, like, banging with other big men. Like, I don't. He doesn't have to make the shot. You almost have to watch a game.
The one selling point for me is that he's a center that's coming out of the Big Ten, which has kind of always been our kryptonite. It would be nice to have one of those because he's going to come in because he's played Edie a couple of times. He's played all those Big Ten.
You got it, Tuck?
Yeah, I do.
It's not the best.
0-for, one block, 5 fouls.
Oof.
No points.
It's 16 minutes.
16 minutes, what did Edie have?
Let's see. He had 22 and 13. So better than the 37 he put up against Tennessee, I suppose.
How did they win that game?
3-point shooting?
I would say so.
No, they were only 7 of 21. Never mind. He had 22. That's not really all that crazy. They had a pretty good night from their bench.
They did only have 6 turnovers to produce 14.
Boy, Russ, you got me all excited. Like, let's check out the box score. And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be good. Is that a 0? Okay. Oof. Okay. 5 fouls? Okay, good.
So they just sit him in there and be a goon.
Wow. Well,
more than Adu got, I think.
The Igor Okpara versus Adu Awaka debate, I feel like Igor is kind of the X factor because he's so – I don't think he's going to be he's going to be more of a Triple J kind of stretch four, I think.
Well, he's not brawling underneath in the paint.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen him play that much. I would hope that a 6'10 Croatian has a little bit of toughness to him.
That sounds like his
coach's kid.
Coach's kid. Been coaching the Polish team.
Coming up, we'll open up the phone lines to you. 865-288-3131. Your number to get on board, 288-3131. Tennessee football transfer portal news. A little bit of a follow-up nugget to a story we discussed yesterday, plus we've got baseball tonight as a busy couple of days at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. We get set for 4 games in 5 days at Lindsey Nelson. We'll talk about that when we continue. It is The Drive. It is Fan Run Radio. Stay tuned. Just getting started. Back with more right after this.
The Drive. Fan Run.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell Bear, Tucker Houston, all with you on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Yeah, a little follow-up from not a big story we were talking about yesterday, but a story. Jason Jenkins, Tennessee defensive lineman, going in the portal. Reports had it yesterday. Today he decides, not going to the portal after all. I'm going to stick around for my third season here on Rocky Top. So he gets to stick around and will be a guy that, depth piece. And we lose, like I said yesterday.
Lose a ton of guys, don't we?
Yeah, it's not that, oh, man, this guy was going to be a big loss this upcoming season. But the next season, he might have had an opportunity. And I think that they feel good about Dominic Bailey and Tyree West as being the starting strong side defensive ends opposite James Pierce, but Jenkins might be the third guy in that group. And I think Bailey, I mean, he's been here forever. Like, he's got to be gone, right?
Oh, yeah.
This will be his last season. West, I guess this will be his third season.
It will.
So, and remember, Tyree West was a 4-star dude I think we stole from Georgia.
I think that's right, yep.
They might not have fought too hard to keep him, but
That's the narrative
I'm sticking with, is we stole from Georgia. And he's certainly flashed a lot. You know, I mean, he could blow up if he lives up to his, you know, he could be gone. And then all of a sudden, Jason Jenkins is your starting strong side defensive end in 2025.
Yeah, it sounds like when he announced that he was going into the portal, there was some talk that that was a surprising move to the staff and that they really liked his potential. And I think maybe they got into a conversation with him, explained what his role would be, maybe gave him some dollars, and he decided to give it another shot.
Yeah, I mean, is it one of those things where it's, hey, I'm going to float this out there. My agent can feel calls from teams that might be, you know, he's from Northeast. Let's see if Syracuse or UConn or one of those teams wants to drop a bag off. Give it 24 hours. Maybe either the calls weren't there like you thought they might be, or as you're intimating, Tennessee came in, all right, what do you need?
Yeah.
Give you a little bit more, stick around. Maybe a combination of the two, but I think that's probably a good development for Tennessee.
We'll see. I don't remember him on the field much last year, but maybe we'll see a little bit more of him this year.
I feel like I saw him a little bit during the bowl game.
Okay.
I mean, he didn't make any meaningful
plays
or contributions in big games or anything like that, but I think he got his feet wet a little bit, so I'm sure he's hoping for more than just that kind of opportunity this season.
You see another former defensive lineman has re-entered the portal. I don't know, that was kind of a word salad.
Is that with Tennessee ties?
Mm-hmm.
Barron?
Oh, yeah.
Again?
The portal daddy.
Now, where was he at? Because
Ole Miss, then Louisville?
Well, yeah. He had committed to Ole Miss.
Right.
Actually enrolled there, and then he goes to Louisville for the spring. So now we're at the point in time in which guys are staying for spring football, but not actual seasons at certain schools.
And Wesley Walker, who is Tyler Barron's stepbrother, like they literally grew up together, he got in the portal today too, I saw, from Louisville. And I think he did the same thing where he went to Ole Miss, then to
– yeah.
So they've been following together. The underlying message I'm getting here, this is just speculation, cannot confirm this, but I feel like Louisville promised a bunch of NIL money to a bunch of guys in the portal – and maybe the checks didn't clear.
Yeah, because weren't there more besides those two?
Mary McDonald.
Yeah,
there have been several. They had their running back left.
Yeah, that remember Penny Boone guy.
Yeah, we wanted to kick the tires there, and there. I feel like that's not all.
Papa, save us.
I mean, that's
weird too, because they got their boy now.
30 days.
You think they'd be kind of rallying the checkbooks for Brom? Now that they've got, you know, the golden boy back
calling
the shots.
What do you do if you're these coaches or NIL collectives or whatever, and you feel like you have this war chest? We've got this much money to play with. And you go out and you make a promise to these young men, and they show up expecting that money. And then, coach, where's the money? Oh, talk to this guy. He's got it. I talked to him. He said he don't have it. Where's the money?
That's exactly what happened with Rashada.
Yeah,
at Florida. And I mean, that was,
which I hear he's hitting the portal, or did he?
He is indeed in the portal once again.
And do you hear who leads?
Mm-mm.
You don't want to know.
Bama?
No, but close.
Auburn?
Georgia.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Draw a target on his head.
I don't think those checks are going to bounce.
No,
and neither are ours.
They still have that Gunnar Stockton kid from the 22 class that was the best quarterback in that class.
I hate that stuff's going on for the kids, but that only helps us because there's certain schools that will, word will get out fast.
Yeah, I don't think Tennessee is overextended on any of these things or made any promises that they can't or won't keep. But
yeah.
I do wonder if they make some promises and the guy gets on campus and it's like, hey, we need to make sure that this guy gets paid. What are you talking about, coach? That wasn't in the budget. I know, but
yeah, that's what I'm wondering about too.
We need to make sure this guy gets paid, but it's going to be a real bad. Okay, and then like you got to go shake your moneymakers,
right?
Black Crow saying,
yeah. I guess that's my. I don't want to say biggest concern, but that's the one thing you don't know. We've heard great things, obviously, about Spire, how they ran the operational and business side, but I think we could all agree Tennessee probably doesn't have the biggest war chest in the country. But where are we in kind of the pecking order? Are we tier one, tier two, maybe high tier three?
I mean, it feels like they're tier one.
I don't know. There was somebody was talking about this week, On three did kind of a tiered list, and we were like right at the top of tier three.
What?
But there weren't a ton of schools in the first two tiers.
Okay.
But that literally is that concludes my knowledge of that article that I did not read.
Well, we need to step up our game if that's the case.
I thought we should be tier one.
Well, you got to donate to the Vol Club, Russell.
That's a good point. It's hey, very Russ. Easy for me. You know, that's a fair point. It's very easy for me to spend other people's money.
That's why I don't get while the callers sometimes get, you know, especially the Barnes bashers. They always got to bring, and they never get his salary right.
What is he making now? Six or seven?
I don't know. I don't know what triggers in his contract for making the Elite Eight. I'll tell you that he's a bargain for where we're operating as a basketball program overall. One of the top brands in the nation.
Smooth Daddy Rick Barnes getting it done. Keeping our eye out in case you're just joining us for some breaking news. Igor Milicic, strongly suspected of being Tennessee's next commitment, according to John Rothstein on CBS Sports.
Igor.
We need some foreign flair to this roster. Now that Vescovi's gone, we need another foreigner on here. I like that. I think he's a two-year guy, right? We would have him for two seasons.
I think that's right.
We definitely need – I feel like the one thing we lose a Waka, he's kind of our goon.
Yeah, he – especially in certain games, he just out-toughed people. But the problem is, and I think everyone would agree, there were also games where we really needed him and he couldn't stay out of foul trouble.
Yeah.
Feels like Okpara can bang a little bit, and it feels like Estrella. He doesn't seem to be a
shrinking violin.
No.
No.
He seems to be built for it, knows what is expected of him if he's going to play that position. So that's exciting. Exciting. We got baseball tonight over at Lindsey Nelson, Western Carolina. The Catamounts are in town.
The hell is a catamount, by the way? I've always wanted to know this.
Yeah.
It's a mountain lion?
Yeah. They got them in
You're
the hills.
You're kidding me. All this time, and I didn't realize it's just a common North American mountain lion?
I believe that's correct, but you're doing that thing now.
Oh, where I make you doubt yourself?
You've, as I tell you at least once a show, you have a computer in your hound.
In my hound?
In your hound. You can look this up.
A medium-sized or large wildcat, especially a cougar.
Cougar, panther, mountain lion, catamount, and puma. All the same thing, just depends on where you're from and what you call it.
And somebody got killed by a mountain lion in California a couple weeks ago. Did you see that?
No, but I've watched some of those shows where they like kind of stalk them on the hiking and jogging trails early in the morning.
Have you seen those videos, those jaguars that are addicted? It grows wild, I think, down in South America somewhere, and they just trip out of their gourds.
No, but you bring this up every time we talk about mountain lions on the show. Really? Go ahead. Tell us about the video that you're going to send us all again. Yes,
no.
That's exactly what you're doing right now.
You're the one who do this.
What?
Your thing.
What? What am I doing?
No, just go on with your segment before you really irritate me.
Yes, we are aware of the tripping panthers of the Amazonian jungle or whatever it is. 7 p.m. first pitch tonight. Six. Feed right into it.
We're going to have to hustle.
I'm surprised you aren't.
Game will be 16-3 by the time you get home.
I know.
You haven't pulled that card since what, basketball?
Midweek baseball's different, Bear.
Yeah, Bear. Lay off my man. He gave his last school presentation today.
That I did. Right in front of Jonas Adu.
Oh.
He's still here.
How about that? Still here for now.
Yeah.
Did you give your presentation titled Why Tennessee Would Have Made the Final Four If Their Physical Post-play had been a little bit more up to par?
Sadly, that is not what my project was about.
That would have been a good one. That would have been a good.
Oh, yeah, it would have been great.
Not talking about anybody in the audience.
Until Jonas gets up.
Onis Jadu, for example, might have been his name.
So how does it feel to have that behind you? Is that a big relief?
It does feel very nice.
So what's next? I mean, are you done?
I still have a few things to do, but we're getting close to the end.
all the big projects and everything. Do I have to sign off on anything? I don't think I've ever initiated. Most of the time, interns, they bring me something that I just completely half-ass and initial. Oh, yeah, sure. That. He was good.
Well,
there is one thing.
No, there's nothing, but I was just going to say that, you know, Bear is the head of the interns here.
Oh, sure. I mean, you can get him to sign off for it.
There's nothing that needs to be signed
off
for.
That's probably a good precedent to set. People's collegiate eligibility credits being in the hands of Bear.
Stay away from the interns. I've had this conversation with you guys. I'm in charge of them. You got your papers with you?
I'll
sign almost anything.
What happens when some professor with the patches on their elbow sleeves calls up and is like, so I'm going to have to ask for this Bear fellow to come and talk to me over here in the ivory tower. I've got a couple of questions for him.
Last name on these documents. He literally just wrote Bear.
He made his mark.
you don't think I can handle myself in the ivory tower?
See here, Cupcake. Let me tell you something about the way things work in the real world.
I'm one of the people that probably has spent more time in the ivory tower than any of you bums growing up.
What, begging for grade changes?
No. Wise ass. You over there hanging out with the girls' basketball team.
Winning natties,
I was over
bro.
There in the tower with the movers and the shakers.
Winning natties. And look where it got me.
Huh.
The same place as you.
Yeah. So what's that tell you? Under the thumb of a maniacal egomaniac.
Late at night when Bear was vacuuming the various office carpets and buffing the floor, he spent countless hours studying the documents left out on the desks of various power players over at Andy Holt Tower.
Real funny, Russ. Real funny guy.
Thanks, buddy.
Feel the love in this room.
Fastball's humming today.
Mm-hmm.
865-288-3131. Your number to get on the show.
You got it right without having to look at me. Look at you.
You want a cookie? He got the damn number right after 3 days?
Well, that's good.
It's more like a week. But who's counting?
Who is counting?
I love how you this thing you do, like when he's not here. I mean, you were just trashing.
That's not true, and I feel like you're doing the opposite, like trying to say that when Russell's not here, I'm so mean to him and just dog-cussing.
Well, you weren't mean, but you just basically came out and said that he was faking being sick.
Gentlemen, please.
And then you just turn on me like this.
Please. Discourse, not discord. Take it outside. Take it outside. Do I have to get the gloves out for you too? It's uncouth. It's unprofessional. It's unacceptable.
We don't use gloves. Bare knuckled.
Coming up, we'll get to your phone calls. Plus, the NBA playoffs are underway, or so I hear. People say this is a big thing. Should we be watching? Should we be watching the NHL playoffs? I hear the Predators are playing. This stuff is just not on my radar, but it could be.
I could see my way in the NBA, really not feeling the NHL.
Is this something we should take note of and or discuss on the air? We will discuss. Yes.
Put the poll in the field?
We will discuss whether or not we should discuss.
It's worth a discussion.
Stay tuned. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. So you can't do the NHL.
I mean,
I can't either. At a certain point, there's just you can't do everything, can you?
Let's lie to our friends. Let's not lie to each other. Me and you have no desire to watch that much.
It's the Southerners in us.
It's not even that. I mean, it's just.
I enjoy some hockey from time to time. Yeah. If when the Preds made their Stanley Cup run a couple of years ago, that was fun. Everybody got into it. I watched those games.
We got a T-shirt. Remember that? We got a Preds T-shirts. Bandwagon.
We got our T-shirts. There were gifts hand out, so that was fun. But I don't know. I mean, they're in there. Maybe I should watch. Whenever I do watch it, I could get into it quickly. I could see how that could be addictive. But
like, if the Preds made a run deep into the playoffs, I would probably.
But that year they made the run, I was in on that one from game one. I watched every game of that sweep over Chicago. I don't know why I'm not.
Never done it.
Well, I know, but I don't know why I would have been watching game one. They were supposed to get trounced that entire series.
I don't know. I think they followed that up with some steady stream of mediocrity, and we just kind of fell out away.
Yeah,
from
and they
it.
Had some
roster change.
Yeah, a bunch of turnover, new coach.
It's just like a different team.
I feel like if I'm going to get into something, it'd be the NBA playoffs, and you know that's one that usually I get in on the ground floor, and I know what's going on right now, and I just I don't know. For me, it's probably been the baseball thing because. Like that takes up a lot of time. I tonight, if you're telling what are you going to prioritize? I'll probably prioritize Tennessee baseball.
Yeah, me too.
That and I mean, if you told me 5 years ago that within 5 years I'd be back to following Major League Baseball and you know at some point in the evening having a significant chunk of my TV time with a MLB game on, I'd tell you were crazy. But here we are.
Here we are. I would. Yeah, I mean, and I've usually got the Braves on, at least in the background. Their game last night lasted, what did I say? It was 2 hours, 17 minutes?
Something like that, yeah.
That's how it is these days if you got a pitcher's duel with the
so fast.
New time and disengagement
it's so,
rules they got.
So much better, though. That was my big complaint, you know? It was a four-hour odyssey back in the
– John was saying one over the weekend was like an hour and 46 minutes.
Wow.
I just couldn't.
Tennessee was on a pretty good pace on, was it Saturday or Sunday?
Less than 2.5 hours is almost too quick. I went to a Braves game a couple of weeks ago.
No, I remember you saying that.
I was like, it was almost too fast. What, you know, if you're going to travel 2 or 3 hours to a ball game, you know, 3 hours is good, I feel like. Even 3.5 hours, you know, depending on how nice a day it is.
2.5 is a basketball game.
Yeah, I mean, that's fast. But, oh, man, so great to see Bryce Elder yesterday, who was so good for the Braves the first half of the season. He was on the All-Star team. Did he start the All-Star game? He was a NL All-Star last year and then just had a miserable second half of the season. Doesn't even make the big league club to start the year. And goes back out there last night and over six innings of shutout ball. Just very impressive for Atlanta to lead the Braves to shutout win. Second shutout of the season over the Marlins. We'll see if they can keep it going tonight in a game you can hear right here on Fan Run Radio. But, yeah, I mean, there's just a lot going on. I'll probably get into the basketball sooner or later. I see the Jordan versus LeBron. Debate is heating up again.
Oh yeah, it's evergreen
really, though. But if you go down the
that's
list,
that's how you
so
suck
many...
the casuals in, man. That's how it begins. The NBA talk in the summer on sports radio. A little Jordan versus LeBron debate. Next thing you know, you're breaking down the Sixers and Knicks.
Everybody except somebody compiled a list of direct quotes from all the NBA greats, and they're just like it's. MJ,
it's the youngers and the recency bias and all that stuff. The reason this is being talked about now is The Athletic, I think, does a poll annually where they poll current NBA players.
Mm.
And apparently for years, like 10 years ago, it was Jordan versus LeBron, or maybe 5 years ago, it was Jordan versus LeBron, and it was like 70%, 80% Jordan. And that number is shrinking and shrinking. And apparently this week, the new poll that came out, it was 47% Jordan, 44% LeBron, like 6% Kobe or something that, you know. So it's you can see where this is headed. By the time he retires, and LeBron James is great.
He's absolutely.
A transcendent talent. Certainly, I mean, we can have the conversation. But I think most people who saw both play, most people will tell you that it's Jordan hands down. But that's where we're at now, is most people haven't seen both play because Jordan's been retired for over 20 years. And so a lot of the players who are in the league now, quote-unquote experts, will tell you that LeBron was better. They never saw Jordan play. Certainly never saw him play.
Yeah, and he was their hero. So, I mean, he became something that we've never really seen. I mean, I remember my sophomore year of high school, like when he would play on ESPN on like Tuesdays and Thursdays, like we made that an event to go to a restaurant, sports bar, and watch him play, get some chicken wings, and it was, you just never seen anything like it.
We were being asked if we were going to respond to Rick Butler's slander.
Oh no, it's not us. It's you.
Against the Braves from last week. Well, I wasn't here. I didn't hear it. So, I don't know. I mean,
he was a little out of line.
He went one championship. They had to beat the Diamondbacks, and all of a sudden, they're the world's foremost authority. What happened? What happened, Butler? What happened to your team when they came to the chop shop over the weekend? Oh, that's right. We tore your kingdom down. We took your crappy excuse for a franchise and urinated all over it, disrespected it, sent you back to Texas to play in that mall you call a ballpark out in the middle of nowhere. That's right. Get on out of here. 5-1 last week against the previous two World Series champions. 5-1. An insignificant blip on the radar. That's what you guys are. That's what you guys are. And now you go home and you go back where you belong, which is in utter obscurity and irrelevance. Put it in your pipe and smoke it, Butler! Chump!
Did you say chop?
Huh?
I thought you said chop, but I couldn't quite hear it. The horns are playing.
Don't forget, Butler, I brought you into this world. I can take you out anytime I want. As a matter of fact, I'm working on your replacement right now. It's called Tucker Harlan. That's right. I'll have him in your job by the end of the year if you keep this up. Know your role! Butler, know your role. Phil is up first today on the drive. Good afternoon, Phil.
Good day, dude.
What's up, Philly?
That's funny you talk about LeBron. He's not half the player of Michael Jordan. And I despise Michael Jordan with a passion.
You despise Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
Why?
LeBron's not worthy to lick Jordan's boot.
He's not as good as Bird or Magic or even Kobe Bryant.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, millennials, Gen Zers.
And there's always Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell. I mean, good Lord. He might be top 10 all the time because he broke the scoring record, didn't he?
I think he's – top 5, top 4, top 3. And I think you can make the argument that he's number 1. I just won't make that argument because I think Jordan was better.
Well, that's like saying that we're better than Alabama in football. It's the same kind of comparison, you know?
I think it's a completely different comparison, but it is incorrect on both accounts. In my opinion, that's where we agree, Phil.
Okay, I'm glad we agree. Now I want to talk about a little bit of your all these names you brought up earlier in the hour.
Okay. Right?
This kid from Minnesota, is he a point guard?
Yes. I mean, it's 7 assists a game, I assume. That's his primary position, 5'11". Yeah, it sounds like one.
Well, if you're wanting to have a big year next year, it'd probably be a must to have him because you got to have 2 point guards because injury – it could tell the whole season if Zucker goes down.
Well, I mean, here would be my thing is
getting somebody like that. What minutes are you getting?
Yeah, he's coming here to start, and you could sell it. Like we could start Ziegler and this guy. I mean, that's 2 very small players that you're starting. It's intriguing, but I mean, if we say we end up getting Lanier and Milicic and one of the, like somebody is going to be on the outside looking in at that point, and a guy like that who averaged 7.5 assists per game, 5'11", he's got 1 year of eligibility. He's going
to
be
averaged 9 points a game. He's not coming here to start. I don't see how you can sell that to him. He can come here and back up Ziegler. But can Lanier play point guard in a pinch?
Well, you're not going to like the answer I would give you, which is the answer that the coaching staff would give you, which is that Jordan Gainey and Jemai Meshack can play point guard in a pinch. But I think that's what they're thinking. I don't think you can convince this young man, Elijah Hawkins from Minnesota, to come in to be Ziegler's backup. I would be stunned if they were able to do that.
I would say it's very unlikely that he'll come here anyway. A lot of the players they're after. If they can get who they want, then he won't come here.
I would tend to agree, but they are reaching out, so we'll see where it leads.
Yeah, you didn't mention the Gabriel Mabor out of Charlotte, North Carolina, who Tennessee's in good shape, but they want him 6'11", 220.
Yeah, I saw very strong Tomba vibes there.
Yeah, he looks very similar to Tomba.
Just really skinny, really long, off the beaten path, doesn't have many offers at all, I don't think. But here's I wonder if the way the Tomba thing ended informs how they approach that, which is, okay, say we get this guy, we convince him to come here and he redshirts or whatever. Is he going to bolt at the first opportunity, the first half-decent mid-major that comes along and says, why don't you come here? You can play for us.
Looks like to me what it's going to be, if they get who they want, is either, they'll either take Tucker Anderson or they'll take Marber. It'll be which one they think can help them the most.
Anderson kid's kind of intriguing.
Well, that Tucker Anderson, he's skinny, but he can shoot the ball. I don't know.
We can put some weight on him.
He is.
You know, he gives me who's the kid from Beer? He gives me Drew Pember vibes.
Mm.
I look at him.
Yeah. Of course, that don't go too well with Rick Barnes on defense, though. So
no, they have to learn how to guard for sure.
But it'd be interesting. Who's Tennessee playing in Missouri this week?
Yes.
Well, they all sweep them. I mean, it'd be a disgrace to not sweep that garbage program.
I don't know if it'd be a disgrace not to sweep, but it certainly feels like an opportunity. You know, one of the two teams in the league to have a sub-500 overall record. They're coming in your place.
We're sitting at what, 12 right now? Conference wins.
Yep. Yeah, 12-6.
Sweeping, that'd be a huge step towards making sure that we're.
Kentucky's gonna probably win the league, and they're not even a top-5 team in the SEC. As well, look at it. I'm not impressed by them at all, even though we beat them 2 out of 3. I think they're a nice program. They're probably, like somebody on the bubble in the NCAA tournament in basketball.
Don't they have just a brutal closing stretch now?
They do play Arkansas.
Yeah, they get Arkansas, Florida, Vanderbilt.
They're at South Carolina.
And
this
at
week.
South yeah. Carolina, yeah.
Florida's weird. They're not ranked, and they're only one game above 500, but they've got the talent to beat anybody in the league.
Yeah, that's a head scratcher.
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate it. Stay with us. Hour number two coming up momentarily. It will begin with the top 4 at 4. Tucker Harlan takes us away when we continue next on Fan Run Radio.